بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وابتغوا إليه الوسيلة وجاهدوا في سبيله لعلكم تفلحون. There are three commands here. One is taqwa, one is wasila, and the third is to strive. Whenever Allah Ta'ala issues a command, then He will show a way how to simplify, how to make it easy. He won't just give you a command and not show you how to make it happen. He issued a command: I am most merciful, I love my servants, so I will show you a procedure. Follow the procedure, it becomes easy for you. So the command is of taqwa. And taqwa is not a difficult thing to understand. Your young child, 17, 18 years of age, is just learning to drive, or he just obtained his driver's license, and he says, Abba, to go to Maritzburg, to go to Johannesburg. So you give him the keys, and you tell him, take care. Why he must take care? That he enjoys a safe journey, he doesn't put himself into problem, and doesn't put his father into problem. So that is what Allah Pak is saying. Enjoy yourself, but don't put yourself into problems. قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Allah Pak did not say that you must shun and abandon all comforts. He didn't say that. Yes, he says, take care in the comforts that you are going through, in the luxuries that you're going through, don't overdo it. If you remain within limits, then it's a favor, and Allah also likes it. يُحِبُّ أَن يُرَى أَثَرُ نِعْمِهِ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. Allah also likes it to see His favors in His servants. To see His favors in His servants, Allah also likes it. We went to Miyaswam, right? Now, when we return, then our mothers will prepare some kurta, nice topi. Before they were doing knitting, so nice knitted journey, right? Jersey. So, if we return now, and we tell our mothers, you know, hey, forget all the dunya ramas, only worry about akhirat. Will it please them? At that moment, wait, make them feel happy. So like your parents would be happy seeing their comfort, seeing their product on your body, would Allah Ta'ala be happy? So it's just a shift of the mind, change of the mind. One is to impress people, no, see I got a dafa kurta. And now you get sometimes the woman, they want to show off, right? So if the husband bought them an expensive jewelry, so they're going to a function, they make sure they put all the jewelry. And under some pretexts, so that it must ring. But it rings, so person, the people know, alright, see, she's a wealthy woman. She what gold she's got. So she'll scratch here, and meanwhile she'll throw a necklace also, right? The pendant, whatever she'll do. But samajhne wale samajh lete hai, person that understands, he understands why she's doing it. See. So Allah Pak says, enjoy it, but don't show off. Don't impress. Don't show off, but enjoy it. It's my comfort. Do it within the limits, and I will be happy about you. So, the first command, ittaqullah. Fear Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes, our Buzugana Deen will ask you to refrain from something for a certain period of time. Right? Because they know the spiritual self is collapsing. When it's collapsing, then they have to restrict you very hard. They put you into a diet, a spiritual diet. Like a physician will put you onto a physical diet that abstains from this. You want to live, then you'll only eat veg for the next 6 months, nothing else. You mustn't even touch meat, won't touch any type of proteins, don't touch it at all for to live. So man is struggling for dear life, he will listen to whatever the physician has to say. Do this and do it strictly by the book, because he knows the worth of the physical self. So this Ahlullah, they know the worth of the spiritual self. When they know the worth and the value of the spiritual self, that if it decays, the destruction that it will cause, if it improves, the escalation that it will bring about, where the man was nothing and now see where he is. He was nothing and now see where he is, how he is escalated beyond our imagination. He just escalated like that. He was amongst us. So these people that are on the spiritual side, they understand that if it falls and how hard it falls, and if it escalates and how high it can escalate, go on escalating and escalating and escalating. Look at the Sahaba Ikram, what were they once upon a time, right? Idolatry, whatever else they were involved in. But when they escalated, when they came up, then they were second to none. Nobody can even come near them. Trying, but you'll be billions, not millions, trillions of miles away from them. You're so far. You're so escalated. So Allah Pak hasn't jammed the roads. He hasn't blocked the way. He has kept the ways open. But there are procedures. There are ways that Sahaba Ikram will show, that the Buzugana Deen will show, right? This time here, this period here, this is what you're supposed to be doing. This is how you're supposed to be conducting yourself. And you will make progress. But just conduct yourself rightly. So the physician will do the same thing. The spiritual physician will show the same thing. Just do this. I'm telling you, I'm speaking to you based on experience. On experience, I'm telling you this is what can happen. So just keep to this, inshallah, you will make a lot of progress. They may ask you, at the beginning they will ask you to do two things. Two things. One is ikhtilat ma'al anam and qillat al-kalam. Right. Before, in tasawuf, they would speak about four things. One was manam and ta'am, and one was kalam and anam, right? So now they say by the ta'am and manam, don't take it too serious, right? It's to ask you to decrease the food and the sleep before, originally, right? Decrease that. But then they realized that people's energy is not like what it used to be before. The capacity is not like what it used to be before. Just to make you understand, in the second century of Islam, there was a great Imam, Awza'i rahmatullahi, very great. Right? He's the contemporary of Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi, etc. He's around that time. I would say a little later after that, right? So he's a very great person. Someone came to visit Imam Awza'i rahmatullahi. So they must have met his mother at the entrance. Came to visit your son, Awza'i, came to meet him. He said, make dua for my child. Ab toh unska pet kaam ka nahi raha. His stomach is now useless. Now see what he's saying, right? Before he needed to go to toilet once in a month. For number two, once in a month he needed to go. Now he's going every week. Now you see how strong the systems were at that time, right? And then now you compare this system to our system. I won't be surprised if anybody says here, I need to go number two also, two, three times a day. Now where it was once in a month, then when he was not feeling well, once in a week, and our energies and capacities has fallen down so much that we need to go three, four times, right? The capacity is gone, so weak, right? The strength of the stomach, stamina, etc. is gone. So now we're living a type of a mechanical life. We're not using our physical selves. We're not using our physical cells, everything has just dropped and collapsed. When it's collapsed, it becomes so weak. Right? So when it's collapsed, they ask Nobai, now you can't manage this. You're going to do this, you're going to hurt yourself. So Nobai, my father used to do this. Right? He used to do it, you'll be able to do it, but you go gradually. No, my father used to carry weights, 70 kilos and 60 kilos used to carry. I remember when I was small, when you offload the truck, I could comfortably carry 50 kilos. Right? Now that time everything was manual, no gazla and all that carriage. After that thing came. But comfortably I could take 50 kilos from the truck and go and pack it up, right? I could do it. But now you ask me to do it, I can't manage it. Right? So our lives have changed. That time everything was done manual, and you built yourself up physically. Now, you can't do it, right? If you want to do it, there is a way still, but you'll have to go and discipline yourself, carry weights, etc. Slowly, slowly, then you will do it. But one shot from zero, you're going to carry 50 kilos, you're going to hurt yourself, you're going to damage yourself. So similarly, they tell you spiritually also, you can come up, but you come up in stages, gradually, you'll come up slowly, slowly, and you will last. You will endure, you will last, and you will continue. But you want to take a high jump, you're not going to last. You may do it for a day, and thereafter you'll fall down. So, before they used to ask you to decrease the sleep and the food. Now they said, no, the energy is not right. You want to do that, you want to decrease your sleep, you may have mental problems. You may go to a depression. You'll become sleepless, right? So you don't go and do these type of things. You will go and you will do it with supervision. You won't do it independently. See, like you're going through a diet, the right thing is go through a dietitian. Ask what must do, how must do it. So he'll show you the right type of combination, what amount of vitamin, proteins, carbs, etc. How to keep the balance. You maintain that, inshallah, you'll go well. But you go and experiment yourself, you may hurt yourself. You say, no, I must just not eat at all. Just eat a packet of crisp or some cold drink in the afternoon. That's all. I must eat nothing else. You will hurt yourself because you don't know how the metabolism works in the body. So the combination or the balance may not be right. When it's not right, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to damage yourself. So someone that has learned the thing, go and ask him, go and humble yourself and learn. Simple as that. So this first command is about taqwa. And like I said, taqwa is to keep, to take care. To take care of what? Right. What do you take care of? You take care of not falling into the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. What Allah Pak dislikes, don't fall into that. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ. He doesn't like, although he's the creator, but he doesn't like you to be disbelieving, to not appreciate, to disobey. He doesn't like that. But he's the creator, he's made the systems, and in the systems he doesn't want you to go, to trespass. This is the boundary. You remain within the boundary, don't trespass. So that's the first command, that you don't disobey. Then in this disobedience, in this taqwa, there'll be levels, right? And proportionate to how much your taqwa will progress, that's how you're going to progress. So the lowest level of taqwa is to secure your iman. That's the lowest level. Iman, you have secured it. So you're not doing anything that is going to amount to disbelief. Now then disbelief also is something that you have to be careful about, right? Disbelief is not only to say, Amantu billah. No. Anything that goes against iman, to secure yourself against it. I was explaining to someone, Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Sahab, he explained this once, you know. He says, when Apa complained, the complaint was, it was brought to her attention that one of the children, the girl that's learning there in the class must have been about 12, 13 years of age. So this girl says, but I am a lesbian, right? Now she shared this with some of her friends, right? And the APA got to know about it, that this girl is a lesbian, right? So she cautioned her, but it's not right. So the rest of the class, they began to support the lesbian. So they said, you know what, APA, but this is her choice. This is her preference. Naturally, she's inclined towards it. So Mawlana said, but this is kufr. Because this is called istighfaf, and this is called istihlal. You are believing a haram to be halal. You are considering a thing that is forbidden to be permissible. In fact, you're supporting her. You don't only abstain from stopping her, but you are supporting her. very discreetly, so no, but this is her natural. So what you're doing, really, you are defying, what? You're defying. Muqabla kar raha hai. You're challenging, what? You're challenging the law of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala said it's haram. So you're saying Allah Ta'ala, but no, Allah Ta'ala, you know what? You must understand that this is something natural in her. Therefore, she is going into this. Therefore, this must be allowed. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, but this is a no-go area. When he says it's a no-go area, then you can't go near it. One is you go near it or still your iman is right. But then you're challenging Allah Ta'ala, but Allah Ta'ala, this is natural in the person. She's just got a tendency. She's inclined towards it. So, oh Allah Ta'ala, why do you stop her? That's what you're doing. Really, if you analyze this, what does it amount to? It's what it amounts to, right? Now, this is what is called kufr. Istihlal and istighfaf. I want to explain that to you. Now, the class was shocked. And we didn't even realize that we were so deeply soaked in kufr. We didn't even realize that. Now, you see, this kufr can come, but it can come from different perspectives, different ways. Now, therefore, the Sufiya Kiram, it's all the rigmarole, the whole circus of this world. And they said, by qillata ikhtilat, don't you go and meet up and associate. Because in the association, you'll hear this type of discussions, this type of trash you will hear. And when you hear this type of trash, then you will begin to accept the trash that you've heard. It's an inclination now, it's natural. So why must we condemn something that is natural? That's how the mind will work. It's this person's his choice. He's born like that. He's got an inclination. So when he's got an inclination, then why must we condemn the person? Why must we stop him? So in essence, I have just explained that this will amount to challenging the law of Allah Ta'ala. But it's done in such a polished way, such a refined way, that let alone the average person, even the alim, will support this type of thing. So, alright, no mind, bye, come slowly. You can't manage leaving it out. Come slowly so you understand your inclination, etc. So even that alim will also support it to some extent. He won't know how to answer the thing. So now, what they say now, the safer route for your iman is then you just avoid. Because you don't know that kufr and that disbelief is packaged so well. See, it's a question of packaging. This zamana is a zamana of packaging. So if it's suraj also, but package it very, very well. So when the person sees it, he says, hey, you know what, this is something really, really interesting. It's packaged so well that false, the wrong also is attracted to the heart. The heart is attracted to that, packaged so well. So this verse, you see this verse, ittaqullah. So the whole question is, package it. And we don't realize many a times, you know, that we begin to believe our own lies, we believe in it. Because it becomes so common, people talk about it, we knew it's a false concept, but we begin to believe in it. We don't even realize it's our own created, faked up. But that fake thing that we have created, we begin to believe in it. Azhaji Rahmatullah gave one story, you know. See, they're correcting your mind. When they give stories, why are they giving stories? Not to entertain you, not to make you excited and bring you to a point where, you know, there's you're on the verge now, you know? They don't leave you on the verge. It's to create a mindset. So a man had a horse, very stubborn, very, very stubborn now. Not listening, not giving orders, not taking, executing orders, nothing, absolutely nothing. So he got really thick with this horse here. He said, now, the best thing is, usko mandi mein le ja kar ki isko bech do. In India, those that are acquainted, and you know that once in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, they have a sale. So if they have animals, it's all animals. One day in that 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, they have a sale. So people from, I can tell you, comfortably 200 kilometers, 300 kilometers, will come to attend that sale. Somebody selling livestock, somebody selling horse, donkey, whatever, they're coming to sell them. So they say, school, mandi mein le ja kar ke bech do, go and sell that thing, take it to the bazaar and sell that thing. So now, in the mandi now, in the bazaar, you have agents, you know, dallal. So because, you know, you must be used to how to market the thing. You can't just go and market the thing like that. So you have to appoint one person, he will do the marketing for you, and he will sell your commodity. So now, he's giving it to that agent must advertise his market, the thing. So you know, this horse here, this thing when it gallops, I think challenges the winds, you know. Such a refined, just the ishara, indication of the master is sufficient. Now, the seller says, hey, when this horse of mine is so good, let me take it back. So he begins to believe his own lies, his own faked up lies, he begins to believe in it. So they ask him, hey, leave out this mixing up. Because you begin to believe the lie. And before you know it, and that becomes part of your faith, part of your iman. And now you have risked your iman. See, mixing up. When I speak about this mixing up, right, the mixing up means any type of communication. It doesn't only mean physical contact. It can mean any type of contact, whether it is verbal, whether it is just reading, any time. That's called an ikhtilat. So leave it out. Why they want you to leave it out is not because it is faraz or it is wajib or it is sunnah to leave it out, but because whatever you come across, you read, you mix up, that shapes your mind. What shapes your mind? The thing that you read, the thing that you come across, the people that you sit with, the people that you discuss with, eventually they make up your mind, they shape your mind. Like look at us, all of us that are sitting here, right? Can anybody say, that anybody that is sitting here, say that he doesn't look forward to a material progress? Can anybody say now that I got enough money, but I'm looking for another better investment? All of our minds, or it's, I think nearly all of us, our minds are the same, right? Alright, I've got an investment now, it's alright. But something better, you know, something. It's not no more exciting. That's 10% all the time, 8%, something more exciting. So, what turned our minds to be like that? Is the circle, the people that we associate, the things that we read, we come across. So our whole concern is the material security, how we can progress, the whole concern. Main thing, that mustn't fall. Right? If that falls, you're sleepless, you're fighting, you're frustrated, you're restless, you're uneasy, right? Say your returns for the month, or say 100,000, now it went to 40,000. You can get a heart attack. You're so gripped with that fear. The type of mentality is so steeped within you that you feel it must happen. If it doesn't happen, so how am I going to continue? One person came here, you know. So he says to me, I'm showing you this mentality, how the mind works. So we incurred a very heavy loss, you know. Very heavy loss. Financial loss. Very heavy. So I said, may Allah give you progress. You didn't understand. So what I didn't understand? He said, no. You see, we projected 450 million, we only saw 120 million for the year. So that 30 million that they went off, that they consider, but the 130 million they made for that year, that is not on the table at all. They don't consider that. You see how they think? Think in reverse. So the whole mind works around the circle that you work, the people that you talk, the things that you read, the things that you see around you, that's how your mind works. So they say now, to get yourself clear out of this, to get yourself firmly rooted, right? See, people want to talk about the Sahaba Kiram. I ask you, but you're not even the sand of the Sahaba Kiram. Don't just try and say, you know, I will follow the Sahaba Kiram 100%. You can't, you're not at that point. You can't follow them. You just try and be close to them. If you can't follow them, say, but the Sahaba Kiram met, they used to talk, they used to sit, they should laugh, they should joke. Why can't we be the same? So the difference between you and the Sahaba Kiram is this, that Rasulullah sees one person and he's applied the wrong type of ether. Khaluq is applied. He's applied the wrong type of ether. So that ether has a color. See? So he's applied the wrong type of color. That's the only wrong that he's done. And Rasulullah refused to make him salam. Have you got that stability of the Sahaba? I say, don't compare yourself with the Sahaba. Have you got the stability? You want to do a business deal. You know that person is clean shaven. Does anything stop you from going making a business deal with him? Nothing will stop you. Yeah, he's comfortable. We're just talking about business, nothing else. You will justify the stance that you have taken. Here, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused to make salam to that person who had mistakenly fallen into this error. He had applied that ithar, that's for a color. Have you got that stability? But Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, look at the stability, right? So he says to one person that don't do this, right? I suppose it was masbura. Masbura is that you tie an animal, right? And you target it, you shoot the thing. Understand? You fasten that animal, and from a distance you target that thing and you shoot it. So that person objected, said, well, what's wrong in this? So Abdullah ibn Umar says, Wallah, I'll never talk to you. And for the rest of the life, he didn't talk to the person. Have you got that stability? So when you don't have that stability, then don't you think that, no, I can reach up to the Sahaba Ikram. You're not at that level. So their work was different. They were at a different level. Their level was Al-Hubbu Fillah Wal-Bughdu Fillah. And Al-Hubbu Fillah Wal-Bughdu Fillah, that is Afdalul Amal, Rawahu Al-Bukhari Wa Abu Dawud. This hadith comes in Abu Dawud and Bukhari Sharif. Ayyul Amali Afdalu Al-Hubbu Fillah Wal-Bughdu Fillah. If you love, then for the sake of Allah Ta'ala only. If you dislike, based on the love of Allah Ta'ala, just because of Allah Ta'ala, I dislike this person. Because of Allah Ta'ala, I like this person. Because of Allah Ta'ala, I dislike the person. So now that's called Afdalul A'mal, the best of deeds. Now, in retrospect, now see how we work, right? How we work like this. You know, I think they use this term in politics. They call it a party whip, right? The party whip, what it means, that this is a member of our party, right? So he has to say something. He says, from tomorrow, the businesses will open up only at 7 o'clock, right? So this is a party. So because we believe we are part of the party, many of us can see what he's saying is wrong. But now, we belong to the party. When we belong to the party, then we must support what he says. So you see, when you have a group now, you got on a site, you got a group, Talimuddin site. The Dora boys of a certain year, their site. Right? So you form a group, right? When you form a group, I tell you, 9 out of 10, it is corrupt. And you may ask me, why it's corrupt? So if one of the members has to show something, right, and you are not clear about it, right, just to remain within that circle, you will try and support it somehow or the other. Will you delete and say, nay, this is not right. I'm not clear at all about it. Will you come out of it, recluse yourself out of it? So now it's a member of the party. You know, we're in class together now. We can't just break away from him. So we are part of the group. When we're part of the group, then we just have to stick along. Now, man, there may be some, he may have some ta'wil in his mind, some reason for taking this stance here. Let's carry on. See, that's our stance. And their stance was, well, you off the sunnah, then you out. You're on the sunnah, we with you. But you off the sunnah, we break away from you. I ask you, have you got that stability? Have you got that firmness? So the Sahaba Ikram had that firmness, had that stability. When they had the stability, if they made ikhtilat, then that ikhtilat wasn't affecting them. Nabi Sassam had just passed on, right? And there is the whole question about the murtads, mani'ina, zakat, all that's carrying on. And Umar radiallahu anhu is offering a suggestion. The suggestion he's offering is that this is not the time to make jihad, not the time to go out. Because the center is now weakened. When the center is weakened and all our men are getting out, it gives an opportunity to the enemy to come and attack the center. So Abu Bakr radiallahu says, no, I must send the Jamaat out. Because this was a banner that was fastened by Rasul-e-Pak and passed on to Usama radiallahu anhu. Nobody is going to unfasten this. This thing is going to go out. But Umar radiallahu anhu again objects, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin, now see what's going on here. So he catches him by the collar, like this. And he says to him, Jabbarun fil jahiliyati wa khawwarun fil Islam. Now see, Abu Bakr and Umar, the most thick, the friendship is too thick. And the respect that they hold for each other is too much, right? But then when it comes to an issue of sunnah and something against sunnah, he'll speak it out, he'll say it. So he says, you're so firm in the days of ignorance, and when you come to Islam, you become a coward, you become so weak. أَيَنْقُسُ الدِّينُ وَأَنَا حَيِّ. Can deen decrease, can it weaken down whilst I'm around? Can't happen. But now, when you have a friendship, can you have that level of stability and firmness? Ask yourself. No man, you know, have to work a plan now, have to get people close. You'll make 101 excuses just to remain, just to maintain the relationship. So these Buzugadis understood that you don't have the stability. And what is required in deen is that stability, the firmness. Come what may, but you holding on. You are not shaking, wavering from this end to that end. You're not shaking from this end to that end. I ask you now, there's a lot of sites, a lot of groups and committees, right? And I ask you, if it comes to this type of thing like LGBT, whatever it is, right? And the type of discussion will be, that, but it's a natural inclination, let's not be too hard about it. And I ask you, will there be a violent opposition? Or will people silently, discreetly just agree to it? I ask you, what will be the response? And what you agreeing with? Agreeing with sunnah or with kufr? Ask yourselves. So now we intelligent people, we wise people, we are educated people. We are not like these people, they are riffraff and emotional characters. No, we are very, very educated. And in that pretext of that education, they can just border, just jump into kufr. They won't even realize it. See that? It's a question of iman. So therefore these Buzugaradin, they understood that you can be influenced, you can be driven this side or the other side. So you maintain your stability. Leave the next person, you maintain your stability, your firmness. Now, in this life, Allah has got systems. Right? You have to follow a system. In order to reach the 20th step, you have to climb the first one, then you go on to the second one. You can't just jump onto the 20th one shot. You come into a madrasa or a school, you have to go to the first grade, second grade, third grade. You can't say Allah was Qudrat and straight away dart into the Dora last year. Can you do it? Can't do it. It can happen. The Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, nobody can restrict the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. But does it happen? It doesn't happen. So you follow the system. Child that is born, Allah can in a second make it a fully grown child. And you can feed it with biryani and chops and steaks and all that. But do you do it? Do you risk the life of the child? Someone does it, say, you will risk the child's life. Won't you say that? At that time you say, no, he must go in stages. Slowly we introduce him to liquids and solids, slowly, slowly. We bring him to that point where he can manage everything else. But we don't let him high jump from one extreme to the other extreme. Gradually we take him. So this Buzugana Deen also understood that you have to take the person, but take him gradually until he understands. Like you saw this column here, right? See this column. So this column holds the entire slab. You see the big slab now? The column holds it. But for the stability of the column, what's required? There's about five things that are required. You need that level of a foundation, right? With all the steel. You need about five ingredients. You need the steel, stone, sand, cement, right? And then you need a casing around, and you need to leave it for some period, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, etc. You need to leave it. So you need the foundation, all these things you need, and thereafter it becomes so strong that you can take the whole slab. Right? So there's a system of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala created the law in all these things here. Now if someone says, oh, he just put up a column there, Allah Ta'ala said that the whole column will stand. By miracles do happen. But it doesn't mean that at any given moment miracle will happen. It won't happen. It can happen. But do you ever say you are on the 50th floor, right? The miracle of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat, let me take a high jump, one shot. You ever say it? Otherwise I'll miss my takbir ula. Let me just crash one shot and I'll go into the masjid. Do you ever do that? It's a system of Allah Ta'ala. You respect the system of Allah Ta'ala. You don't challenge the system. You don't try Allah Ta'ala. I'm going to try it out now. Allah Ta'ala will save my life or not. What are you doing? You're trying out Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat. That's not for you to do. If Khalid ibn Walid drank a poison, right, then he was in that, mentally he was in that state, right? in that, he was in that mental state where he was so convinced that nothing can happen. He can take on an army, 100,000. He can take it on, right? He was in that mental state where he could take it on. And nothing happened to him. Right? But are you in that state? One small, one little police will come and say, close the whole masjid down just now. What do you do there? Small little police come with a van, siren on, blue lights, what happened to you? You can't take this thing, small thing here. We want to compare yourself with Khalid ibn Walid. See the comparison. Isn't it flawed? It's totally flawed. So you come up in stages, slowly, slowly, you come up, build yourself up. Understand that they were at a different level. They're totally at a different level. Look at Khalid radiallahu anhu, right? So they call him Mahane Arman. Maybe some Persians, right? So they are going out in jihad. So this Mahane Armani, he wants to have a special dialogue with a Muslim delegation. And Khalid is sent with just about 9 people, so all in all 10 people. And there's a special seating. So Khalid sees that this is a Persian, the head of the Persians, and he's laid out all that Persian rugs, most expensive rugs, right? Those things are laid out for the reception of Khalid and his delegation. Persian silken rugs. As Khalid says, comes in, he just pierces it with his arrow and flaps it, the whole thing off. So now this Mahane Armani, he's saying, you know what? I respected you, honored you with this most expensive rug of mine, and you preferred to just throw it aboard and sit on the naked ground. So Khalid's reply was, the carpet of Allah Ta'ala is much dearer to me than your carpet. وَالْأَرْضَ فَرَشْنَاهَا فَنِعْمَ الْمَاهِدُونَ We made it a carpet. So the earth, we prefer sitting there. See the stability. So he didn't say, now, hey, ye log kya kahenge? Ki hum kis kadar pichle zamane ke log hai. He didn't get overwhelmed. These people say, you people are such a backward class that you don't even know what is a Persian silken rug. He is not in the least affected. I ask you, do you get affected or not? You see all the things around you, do you get affected or not? Every small thing affects you. Your mind is affected, your thinking is affected. Your values are all corrupted. Now you want to compare yourself. Buzhwana Singh, don't make ikhtilat. You've got a reason why they don't do it. In the tabligh, when they ask you to make ikhtilat, just to that point. Don't keep making ikhtilat after that. To that point, because there is a certain work that is required. Now, when they ask you to go and make ikhtilat, they asking you to go, in the words of Mufti Zainul Abidin, as a shikari, what? As a hunter. So a hunter is going into dangerous territory, but for what? To make friendship with a lion there, or to hunt it down. So you're going in to hunt down. When they ask you to make ikhtilat, what they asking you? To go and hunt down. You hunt people and bring them to the masjid. So you have a procedure. The hunter cannot be acting so innocent and so pious. He won't do that. He'll put his net down there. He'll pretend. And then he'll get that thing into his net. So you're going in to make ikhtilat in the jamaat for this purpose. So anyway, as Khalid radiallahu anhu has come up and he says, وَالْأَرْضَ فَرَشْنَاهَا فَنِعْمَ الْمَاهِدُونَ It's the carpet of Allah Ta'ala. You can't substitute the system of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has ordained the system. There is no substitute for the system of Allah. You can't replace it. Anyway, now that Mahane Armani is trying to speak to Khalid radiallahu anhu and trying to bring him into his books. He says, if only you could be my brother, we could be brothers and living together. Abrahamic brothers. What? Abrahamic brothers. Leave politics aside. Leave religion aside. We can be just brothers. Now look at this people's statement. What? Or this statement here. We Abrahamic brothers, cousins we are. Leave religion aside. Leave politics aside. Can't we just be brothers and enjoy a brotherhood? Now look at Khalid's statement compared with this people's statement. As Khalid says, radiyallahu, see, you want to be our brothers, very good man. You say La ilaha illallah, straight away you'll be our brothers. But without La ilaha illallah, you want us to enjoy a relationship with you, we left our own brothers, our fathers, real blood. We left our blood in Makkah Mukarramah, our brothers, our fathers, our children, right? We forsaken everybody for La ilaha illallah. Then how on earth do you expect us to be your brothers when you could forsake them, that were our blood? And you are a stranger. We will not say that you are Adamic brethren. You also a brother, Adam alayhi salam. But they say Abrahamic, we say Adamic. We all coming from there. He didn't say that. He didn't mince his words. This is playing with words. This is playing with words. In the meanwhile, everybody is duped. If it was they were true about brethren, etc., right? If they were true, absolutely pure, clean motives and intentions, right? I don't think these people that are hosting them and whatever else, right? They know what's going on. They know the deception. Because if they were true in what they were saying, then their brethren in Israel, Palestinians living there, they're killing them, they're destroying their homes. So they weren't Abrahamic brethren. What? So if they were brethren, your own brothers' homes you're destroying. You're killing them, destroying them. So how do you reconcile? On the one side now, the brothers you're putting away, and then the brothers you are hosting here. So how do you reconcile this whole thing? Can you reconcile this thing? So anyway, I'm showing you what Khalid's statement, radiyallahu anhu, against this statement here. And you see this ikhtilat. When you don't have that stability, then everything, every rubbish, every filth will permeate your heart. You begin to believe that thing. You begin to subscribe to it. You begin to give it a place in your heart. And you don't realize that in the process, you are subscribing to kufr, to disbelief. You don't realize that, right? So it's a small thing. For everything is kafir. Har choti cheez ko kufr kafir banate. Har aadmi ko kafir banate. Every person they make a kafir. So maulviya kiram kafir banate nahi, kafir batate hai. But it's just one nukta difference. They don't declare, they don't make you a kafir. But they will definitely show that this is kufr. A doctor doesn't give the patient cancer, but he shows that this is cancer. There's a difference. He didn't pass on the cancer to you, but he told you that this is cancerous. This is cancer in the fourth degree. So will you say that the doctor passed on the cancer to you? Now look at his statements. And we could forsake, break up, we could fight with our own brothers in Makkah Mukarramah. And then you think we'll join up and link up with you? How can we do that? It doesn't reconcile. Then Khalid says, when he's arrogant and he's stubborn on his disbelief, Khalid says, I just look forward. You see this, al-hubbu fillah wal-bughdu fillah. In every statement of the Sahaba Kiram, you are seeing iman. What? Al-hubbu fillah wal-bughdu fillah. You love for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. You hate for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Who is talking to? The head of the Persia, right? Mahan Arman is talking to. And he says, I long for the day when you will be on the mat of Umar radiallahu anhu, and with the stroke of a sword, your head, you will be just beheaded one shot. One shot. I'm just looking for the day. I just long to see the day. Now, this Mahana Armani, he's got all his 100,000 army he's got there. And he can't take this. My army here, my people here, and this man here, this Arab here. Look at his burden. See his dress. See his sword. He doesn't have a decent scabbard. And he's talking to me like this. He says, I'm sikhu. Catch him. Kill him. Now look at Khalid's iman. You see, at every letter, every word is iman. Khalid says to his nine people, nine altogether, ten they are. He says, you see, now this is the day Allah Ta'ala has created us. Your mothers have begotten you for this day. Now you don't look at anybody's face. Now we will meet on the Hawz al-Kawthar. Now you take up your swords and you don't look left and right, you just go. It sends such a terror in the spine of this Mahan Armani, this king. You see, it's hardly taking me so serious. I was just looking at your strength. I was looking at what your stability was. He just changed the tune. But you see that iman. You see the strength of that iman, of this man. Now that is called stability. We can't be pretending to be Khalid. Yes, our kabir, what they told us, we'll listen to that. Because they were not the Sahaba, but definitely they were much more closer to the Sahaba than we are. So they said, don't you make ikhtilaf. But you see how your iman, how your aqaid, how it can be corroded and eroded. How it can be corroded and how it can be eroded. Don't make this ikhtilaf, and this is what's going to happen to you. Every small thing, anything can shake you up. Anything can hurt you. So this is the first command. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu taqullah. Fear Allah. Abstain. I take care. I made everything for you. Qul hiya lil ladina amanu. This is for you. Khalisata yawm al qiyamah. It's for you. Now in this world, you will see the kuffar also enjoying. Right? But in the next abode, it will be purely for you. Here, it's a little bit of a trial. Right? It's a little bit of a trial. Because in this world, if you had made all the comforts only for the kafirs, وَلَوْلَا أَيَّكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَانِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِّنْ فِضَّةٍ وَمَعَارِجٍ وَعَلَيْهَا يَزَلُونَ. If it was not for the fear that all the kafirs got all the luxury, see, they got all the wealth, it's only tipping on their side. If it was not for this fear, right? Because now, when a Muslim is seeing that all the wealth, the luxury, the comfort is only on the side of the kufr, right? So he can be tempted on the other side. So you become a kafir, you'll become so wealthy. You got this luxury, you got this comfort, you got this benefit. You got so much you got. All you require to do is just become a kafir. So Allah Pak says, it was not for this concern, then we would have made homes, staircases in gold and silver for these kafirs. So much. We can just give it to them. Allah Pak might just say, kun, and it'll happen. We could have given all this to them. But the concern was this, that if we do make it happen, then these people that are innocent and good in their faith, they can be tipped on the other side. So this thing in the sight of Allah Ta'ala has got no value. What we're running after, what we're running behind, and we're pursuing, right? It's got absolutely no value. Often in our discussion, we say, hey, we have to respect this person. You know, maldar kisam ka admi zara, iska lihaz rakhna. Wealthy person, let's just respect him. You know. What we're saying, madrasa people, what we're saying, yeah, you will respect him, we'll get the madrasa running. Bhai, main pooch raha, I ask, that our trust is in Allah Ta'ala on this person here. This man can be shifted, his mind can be shifted. So your trust is born from Allah Ta'ala to the person, just based on his wealth. And his mind can just take a change, his wealth can just take a change, can just flip and slip, can't it happen? So where's our minds gone to? Aren't we slipping? As Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah says, I wanted to speak on Wasila today, but my mind is going somewhere else now, right? He says, one person was reading on Wazifa. Ya Shaitan, Ya Shaitan, Ya Shaitan, Ya Shaitan. 1,000 times a day. Speaking Wazifa for maybe about 40 days or something. So our Shaitan came in life. He's not dead, but he came in life. He came. Why are you calling me, making my Wazifa? But why are you calling me so much now? So now I called you. I want you to make a pledge, a promise. What promise? So please, don't come and disturb me at the time of death, you know. Don't distract me at the time. So Shaitan told him, alright, I give you my assurance that I won't disturb you at the time of death. Right. Al-Mawad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah says, bhai, you want an assurance, right, for your iman, there's a simple procedure. You don't have to read Ya Shaitan all that, right? You don't have to do all that. There's an assurance. See, there's two things, there's two elements, right? One is Shaitan, one is nafs. And these two, they cooperate towards your destruction. They cooperate towards your destruction. Now, what the nafs does, and what the shaitan does, right? The shaitan only incites you, right? He only incites you, right? And thereafter, the nafs takes on. He incites the nafs. What he does? He incites them. He's not doing anything. He just incites. وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ I will create wrong desires in them. Shaitan's promise that I will create the wrong desires in them. You know, if you look at that WhatsApp and you look at that girl, you know, you can't replace it, man. It's so sweet, man. Look at the thighs. We had Thailand boys there, you know. So Mawlana Abu Bakr Nalabai used to say, the only thighs that you can see is Thailand. Other thighs you can't see. But now Shaitan will jam you up. Hey, look at this, man. Look at this. You see where your mind will go to. If you got something that others haven't got, he'll keep needling you until you fall into that wrong, until you fall into that mess, until you fall into that abyss. Right? You fell in it now. To get yourself out of it becomes very difficult. So his idea is to get you into a mess. That's his whole idea. So he'll incite you. The wrong is perpetrated and committed by you. He didn't commit the wrong. All he did is فَلَا تَلُومَنَّكُمْ وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ Was the ayat before that? إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ All I did was I incited you. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي You responded. I didn't do the wrong. You did the wrong. I just incited you to the wrong. And you perpetrated, you committed the wrong. Who did the wrong? I just told you, you know, you do some financing and you'll just grow and grow and grow. You multiply and multiply and multiply, right? So I only incited you. But who did the actual wrong? You committed the wrong. So I just told you, إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي I only incited you, then you responded, you did the wrong. So you're the culprit, I'm not the culprit. See how Shaitan works. So he incites you, and he incites your temptation. And the temptation then overwhelms you, right? When the temptation overwhelms you, then for that moment, you are blocked off. Intelligence is blocked off. I ask you, is it a fact or not? At the time that you know, you fall into the rank, you know it's wrong, but your intelligence and your reasoning is just blocked off. Let me just do this now. Is it a fact or not? See that, how it blocks. The whole intelligence is blocked off. Then when you committed the wrong, what I've done now? Now it's too late now. You've already fallen into it. Now you say why you did it. See. إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي So understand this is a trick of Shaitan. The Mawlana says, what is the security and the assurance against Shaitan? He says the assurity and the security against Shaitan is إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُ Two, just two things you need to have. One is, like I'm saying, the stability in Iman. Iman must be absolutely unshakable. Nothing can shake your Iman. Not wealth, not woman, not position, not power. Nothing shakes you. Nothing shakes you. See? Nothing shakes you. Nothing moves you. Your Iman is so well rooted. Stability in Iman. Nothing moves you. Your Iman in Allah Ta'ala, your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is too strong. Nothing can turn you around. Not woman can turn you around. Not wealth can turn you around. Not position and respect and position. Nothing turns you. But it is Allah ta'ala. Your iman. So your iman needs to be rooted. Rooted very, very well. Absolutely strong, firm. Nothing shakes you. Nothing deters you. Someone was asking, you know, about this problem that we are going through now, right? So I told him, see, you have to look at this whole thing from a different perspective. We're not looking in the right perspective because we are overwhelmed with the news, with the media, with Westernism. Western ideas have overwhelmed us. Therefore, we think like how we are thinking. We're not thinking correctly. So I explained, the man asked me, what you are referring to? So I said, see, a government that is appointed by who? Is appointed by the public. You vote for a certain person, he's the candidate, and you vote him into parliament. Doesn't it happen? Right. But why did you vote him? Just for fun. You put the person in the position for what you put. You're paying him taxes, etc., everything. You're giving him. You give him the respect. You give him the recognition for what? You're giving the recognition and the respect and the position because you feel that he's the best candidate to take care of your life. Right? Is it not? Is it a fact or not? He's the best candidate to look after your property. And number three, he's the best candidate to look after your integrity. What? Life, property, and integrity. So from all the people that were around, you felt that he's the most suitable person to take care of life, property, and integrity. Now you put the person in position. After you put the person in position, you expect him to deliver now. He must look after life, property, and he must look after integrity. Now you come across a crossroad where he's not looking after life, he's not looking after integrity, he's not looking after property. Then what happens to the public? Let me show you now. Life incidents, and what the public, how the public will respond. Right. Now look at it. It's under 3 months. One of the homelands near here, right? People are coming into a shopping area, into a business area. So he's got a parcel of money. Couple of hundred thousand he's got. And one chap comes with a gunpoint and takes the money away. Right? Taken it away. In 1 day or so, they arrest those criminals. After 3 days, they're out of prison. Now, those people that were robbed, they see now, well, they were nabbed and they were released. So what happens to them? Is there a level of distrust created or not? Is it created or not? And who created the distrust? Who broke the confidence? Ask yourself. Right. Another incident. Look at another. I'm talking of recent. What happened now? Right. A car is hijacked. Right. And the car is hijacked. So somehow they pursue the person. Right. Person is saved. Now the police comes around, and the police says, "You know what? You all just loosen the person. Do whatever you need to do. I'll go around the block and come back because I'm frustrated with this thing here." Because now the police is saying, the law is on the side of the criminal. What? The law is on the side of the criminal, so we're frustrated. You do what you need to do. We'll just take a drive around the block and you just hand us to him after you have done what you need to do. See what has happened. See, what led the people to take the law in their hands? Right, look at a third case, right? There's quite a few Christian Ethiopians living in this country, right? So one of their child was kidnapped. Now this all happened recently, within 1 month. Right. So this Christian child was kidnapped. So somehow these Ethiopians are very united. So they ran after this guy, this person here. They chased him right to the police station. He went to take asylum into the police station. Right. They smashed his car and do whatever. But I ask you, what led these people to take the law into their hands? Say if they said, if this Ethiopian said, you know what, let the law take its course now. So I ask you, will they have ever got their child? If it was your mother or your daughter or your sister, would you have that response, that let the law take its course and must respect the law? Would you have that? No, you say, whatever happens, we need to get the child back. The law breaks or doesn't break. Because they're seeing the weakness and the deficiency in the legal system. When they saw and they discovered the weakness and the deficiency, it forced them into this. Right. And if they say that we respect the law, right, we say that we're paying the law, we're paying the system. When we're paying the system needs to respect us as well. Is it a one-way traffic or is it two-sided? We must respect the law and must not expect anything, you know, Christendom. Is that the case? It's purely illogical. If you say that we need to respect the law, then the law must respect us as well. And they must respect these three things. They must respect life, they must respect property, they must respect integrity. And if you say, no, integrity is not on the cards, then I ask you, all right, in any of the Western countries, presently, as we stand, right, you say there's freedom of expression, right? If you say, anybody goes by that, I ask you, Are you allowed in any of the Western countries to speak against LGBT? Can you speak against it? Or it's a major criminal offense, is it? No, there's a whole contradiction in the law and what they're saying. There's a whole contradiction. And we don't seem to be seeing things in perspective. An ordinary simple person like me, I'm seeing the difference, I'm seeing the problem, right? I asked you now, you jam the person in the corner, put him in the corner and say, no, now you must let the law take its course, respect the law. You expect me to just sit like that? At a certain point, if it's your daughter, your sister, your mother that was hijacked, you will take the law into your own hands. So the same here, these people, whatever they have done, I say, make dua for the person who's done this. Make Allah elevates him to the highest level of Jannah. And let this person suffer the consequence of what he's doing. In this world, in the next world, whoever is supporting him, let them suffer the consequences in this world and in the next world. And the person who's done this, Allah elevates him and elevates him. And Allah may create more people like that, that can defend the integrity of Rasulullah SAW. That's a dua we need to make. Look at the whole story in perspective and then pass a decision. While we look at it partially and then we make statements, we're not looking at it holistically. See how it happens. Like I say, if it was your mother, you would have ever had that attitude. It was your daughter. You would have that attitude. No, respect the law. Conform to the law. Now, if it is your daughter now, and she's hijacked, respect the law. Now you'll file a case. By the time you go and file the case, they have killed your daughter. The organs they wanted to take away, they would have taken it away. Your child would have been abandoned on the streets. You go and pick up that abandoned body. That's what have happened. So they were forced. There was no other alternative. There was no other recourse to do what they did. These Ethiopians, what else was left to them? Nothing else. Now you say respect the law. Are you understanding what you're saying? Are you saying in the correct frame of mind? The law needs to correct itself. The citizens are forced to respect the law. But is the law respecting the feelings, the property, the respect of the citizen? I ask you. Or is it a one-sided traffic? You must keep paying them, let them enjoy, and do what they want. No, it's not that. Isi ko kehte andhi taqleed, blind following. We're not blind followers. We are paying something, and we need something in return as well. And if you're not doing it, then this will definitely be the natural consequence of things. So what we are talking of, ittaqullah, right? The second command is, وَبْتَهُ إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَ. Right? This word wasila, I have to just make it very short, my time is up now, right? It's spelt, it comes in the Quran Sharif, sometimes spelt with a seen, and sometimes spelt with a sod, both giving the same meaning. وَبْتَهُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ with the scene. وَالَّذِينَ يَنْقُدُونَ مَا يَنْقُدُونَ أَهْدَ اللَّهِ يَسِيلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهِ. Can you see that? يَسِيلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهِ. وَبْتَهُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. Both got the same meaning. What's the meaning? The meaning is to join. Whether it's wasila, whether it is wasila with the sod, both got the same meaning, to join. But when it's spelled with the scene, it's got an additional meaning. The additional meaning it has, when it's spelled with the seen, is you join up, you look for the proximity with Allah Ta'ala impassionately. What? You look for the proximity, look for the means of gaining proximity, look for the means of coming close to Allah Ta'ala, but impassionately, with a passion, with muhabbat, not just casual, but with a passion, impassionately. You know, okay, on this deal, I'm going to make R1 million, right? You're going to do it casually, all right, hey, just pick up the phone, do this thing, you know, lazily, you'll do it. You know, I have to do it, now let me just go to the shop and do it. Will you have that attitude? You know, on this one deal, I'm going to make R1 million. So you're doing it impassionately, perhaps the whole night you won't be able to sleep. Hey, I'm going to make R1 million, or one client, cash, I'm going to get R1 million. See how impassionately you will do it. So Allah Pak says, the means to gain proximity, the means to come close to me. Adopt those means, but adopt it with a passion. وَبْتَهُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ.